You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. His name is the very expression of his character, and these first three commandments emphasize the holiness of God. Don't take his name in vain. Now, I warn you tonight, don't. Hold the bar high in this area. I know that there's a certain casualness in our culture that's carrying over even into the way we treat God. And I've heard Christians use the Lord's name in vain and defend themselves saying, I don't mean anything by it. That's the point. His name is not meaningless.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today, we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Remember the Sabbath Day. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Father, thank you that your word always is relevant and powerful and sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we turn to it tonight, we thank you that you've given us your word as an expression of your character. And I pray that we would be teachable and be instructed, guided and directed by your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be looking at Exodus 20, but if you wanted to glance over at Deuteronomy 4 for just a second. Deuteronomy 4, you know, the giving of the 10 words, and that's really what the Bible refers to them as, even though it's translated sometimes 10 commandments, it's really just 10 words. Jesus, though, did use the word commandment when he referred to them, when that guy came to him, he said, good teacher, what should I do? And he said, well, you know the commandments. And then he referred to the 10, what we call the 10 commandments. But they stand out. They're more than just 10 words, of course. The way the Hebrew used that, they are 10 words from God. And they stand out. They alone were spoken audibly by God to the whole congregation. They alone were etched in stone twice. They alone were put in the Ark of the Covenant. 9 out of 10 were reiterated in the New Testament. And they teach us, and they taught Israel to fear the Lord. And that's why I want to read when Moses reminded them, Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And anything that will cause us to reverence him, to fear him, we want to really listen to. Moses told Israel, he said, only give heed to yourself, verse 9, and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb? When the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me that I may let them hear my words so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is, the 10 words, the 10 commandments. And he wrote them on 2 tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might perform them in the land where you are going over to possess it. Don't ever forget these things, Israel. Remember, God gave you these to teach you to fear him. And if we learn nothing else, we learn the character of God in the 10 commandments. And certainly we learn much more than that. But the character of God, and if you really understand who God is, you fear the Lord. It's the very beginning point of wisdom. It's the beginning point of coming to know him. And I want to underline that for us as we take another look at him. Now, I also want to underline, and I feel the need almost every time, and I don't think we can do this too often, to turn to the New Testament and underline the truth that the Ten Commandments were never given to save or justify. Turn to Acts chapter 13. I think I mentioned this, but I'm not sure that we looked at it, and I want to just read from Paul's first sermon that we have recorded for us. On his first missionary journey, when he went out and proclaimed Jesus Christ, his message and our message tonight is not the Ten Commandments. Our message is Jesus Christ. When we go out into the world, we proclaim a Savior. We teach all the counsel of God's Word, so we certainly teach the Ten Words, but our message is Christ. And Paul went out and he proclaimed Christ. And as he summarized his sermon, he talked about the resurrection of Christ. And then notice verse 38, Acts 13. Therefore, he says, let it be known to you, brethren, and he's speaking mainly to a Jewish audience. Let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed, literally justified, from all things from which you could not be justified through the law of Moses. Let me make it very clear, he says, that through him, through Christ, the one who rose from the dead, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could never be justified by the law of Moses. If you want a little bit more didactic presentation of that, and I think it's good, turn over to Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 16 and following. Because we live in a day when, yeah, granted, the Ten Commandments are kind of passe and have been ruled out of the schools and thrown out of people's consciousness pretty much and stuff. But still, there's this tendency for people to think that you're going to stand before God and be graded on how well you kept 10 rules or didn't keep them, and that you can be justified that way. And the Bible never presented it that way, and the Bible says the opposite, so I want us to see it very clearly. Starting at verse 16, Galatians 2, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves also have been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. If anyone could have ever been saved, even by God's holy and righteous statutes and commandments, his holy law, if righteousness came through the law, then Christ would have died needlessly. But the law was never given to save. He goes on in this third chapter of this book to say the law was given to point us to our need. It's like a tutor to lead us to a Savior, Christ. And man's great need today in our world is to recognize the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man, and the desperate nature of that chasm that can only be bridged by God himself, and was when he sent his sinless Son to die in my place and in your place. Christ justifies. The Ten Commandments were not given to justify. Now, having said that, turn back to Exodus 20, and let's glance once again at the Ten Words. The first, you shall have no other gods before me. Verse 3. The second, you shall not make for yourself an idol or a likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. I don't want you to have any other gods. And secondly, don't make any idols, he says. No images of me. Don't think that you need a little assist so you can imagine me and create me. Don't do that. Why? Well, we talked about it. God is very jealous. There's only one image of the invisible God, and his name is Jesus Christ. He, Colossians 1:15, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. John 1:18, John's gospel begins, "No man has seen God at any time, and yet the only begotten God who's in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. He has explained him. He has exegeted him, if you will." You want to know God? You want to know what he's like? Don't look at some idol. Don't look at some picture. Don't look at any things that you might say, "Oh, it kind of helps me worship." No, you look to Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. And then the third one, verse 7, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." His name is the very expression of his character, and these first three commandments emphasize the holiness of God. Don't take his name in vain. Now, I warn you tonight, don't hold the bar high in this area. I know that there's a certain casualness in our culture that's carrying over even into the way we treat God. And I've heard Christians use the Lord's name in vain and defend themselves, saying, "I don't mean anything by it." That's the point. His name is not meaningless. To say, "I don't mean anything by it," is to use it in vain. His name is full of meaning. His name is the name above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. "I could have written many things," John said, "but these things have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." Oh, reverence his name. Don't take it in vain. Don't use it lightly. You know, and I'll refrain, I suppose, but I would just say, be careful of, I should probably be careful what I say to be careful of. But I would say, and I don't want to be legalistic here, but I would say we should have a reverence for God and be careful about humor about God and all kinds of things that we should, I think, apply from verse 7. But now the fourth commandment, verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Now, let me just comment on this briefly. Verse 8, notice, the only commandment in the list that starts with this word, "remember." Remember. Apparently they already knew about the Sabbath. And in fact, we've seen that, haven't we? Even in Exodus. Turn back to chapter 16. Remember when he gave them the manna? He said, "You know, I'm going to rain this bread on you every day." In verse 4, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instructions. And it will come about on the sixth day," look at verse 5, "when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." Remember that? It was supernatural anyway. Daily provision. And then on the sixth day, double dose. And so, look over at verse 22. It came about on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, then he said to them, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, put aside to be kept until morning. So they put it aside until morning. And you remember on the other days, if they tried to do that, it went south on them real quick. It bred worms and was foul, and God wanted them to daily depend on him for bread. And that's why we wisely thank God every meal we sit down to, and we say, give us this day our daily bread. And there's a certain sense in which we're dependent on the Lord. In fact, there's every sense in which we're dependent on the Lord daily. But food is always a reminder of that, at least around my place, because I don't like going a day without food. I don't know about you, but I want my food. And so I'm reminded regularly that I'm dependent on the Lord. So they put it aside until morning, as Moses had ordered, and it didn't become foul, nor was there any worm in it. And Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it in, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. And it came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remember, every man in his place, let no man remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. The Lord has given you, Moses and Israel, the Sabbath. So they already knew about the Sabbath. And he says, remember the Sabbath. Now notice too, look back at our text in chapter 20, and there's positive instruction here regarding the other 6 days also. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and then rest on the seventh. But 6 days I want you working. You know, the scripture teaches work. We're going to see it in 2 Thessalonians so strongly that Paul said the basic rule is if you don't work, you don't eat. And there's no room for a sloth or kind of a laid-back, do-nothing kind of Christianity, really, when you read the New Testament. He said in 1 Thessalonians, we used to work hard night and day so as not to be a burden. Do you remember that in chapter 2? And in chapter 4, he said, make it your ambition to work hard and live an honest life and work with your hands. Just be quiet and work with your hands. And people talk about, you know, the Protestant work ethic. It's not the Protestant work ethic, it's the biblical work ethic. And where the Bible has gone, industry and that sort of thing have followed because God instructs us to work. So he says, I want you to labor for 6 days and then rest on the seventh. And Jesus, of course, takes all that and points it in the highest and best cause, and I quoted it this morning. You know, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. My Father's working until now, and I myself also am working, he says in John 5. So we should be working, and working for the highest and best cause, working for the same cause Christ worked for. So he gives positive instruction. And then notice in verse 10, there's no instruction really about what to do, just what not to do on the Sabbath day. He says, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. And then he says what it's all based on. He bases it on God's pattern. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. The Lord did that, right? We remember that back in Genesis? 6 days, he created the world, the heavens and the earth, the water, the sea, everything that's in them. And then he rested on the seventh day. This, by the way, is one reason why I believe that God did these things in 24-hour days. He says so. And I know that Bible-believing Christians today are feeling pressure to make sure that they don't get out of step with the latest findings and conjectures of science on the age of the earth. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather have my tension with the conjectures of man than with the text of the Scripture, the Holy Scripture. And I don't see how you can read verse 11 and not see that he says, just like God made the world in 6 days, and the sea and everything in it, the heavens, the earth, the sea, took him 6 days, and on the seventh he rested, and so I want you to, Israel. And so I'd rather have my tension, as I said, with man's opinions about how old things are than have my tension be with the text. But he says, by observing the Sabbath, Israel, you'll be honoring and recognizing that your God is the God of creation. He's the God who spoke the world into existence. Unlike the pagan gods, you know, the gods of the nations, your God is the creator, God himself. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Back in Genesis, it says he sanctified it. Same word, to make holy. He set it apart. He made it different. Now, let me give some thoughts for tonight as we apply this in our life, because this is the lone commandment that is not repeated. In fact, this is the commandment. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. And I'll show you another couple passages in a minute. But I want to state right now, I don't believe that we are under the Sabbath command. And it seems to me he says, don't let anybody judge you that way. Those things were a mere shadow of the real thing. The substance belongs to Christ. And we'll see that he even warns about it. So I come back to it. Well, what should we glean from this? Well, I want us to think about several things. First of all, there's a principle here that rest from work is a great blessing. Think of the monotony if there was just endless day after day after day after day after day. And we've got a culture that's moving further, closer that way all the time. You know, keep everything rolling at all times just to make as much money as possible. And there's no break. No, God has a certain pattern and a certain rhythm to things. And he said, you work 6 days and you take a day of rest.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Remember the Sabbath Day, a message from our series, Through the Book of Exodus. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. Something we've been making available as a thank you gift to our listeners are USB flash drives loaded with Bible teaching series in their entirety. So, currently, we're offering the entire book of Exodus. That's 52 full-length messages, over 30 hours of clear, Christ-centered Bible teaching on this important book in the Old Testament. We'd like to make these teachings available to you, our listeners. Just make your request along with your gift of any size to the Ministry of Downtown Bible. You can do that during regular business hours by calling 503-524-7000 or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon 97280. You can also simply click Contact Us at downtownbible.org anytime. We'd love to put one of these valuable resources in your hands. Downtown Bible only remains on the air through the generous contributions of listeners like you. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us on a regular basis to help us meet our day-to-day expenses. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
He's talking about things that are really not black and white at all, and in fact are left to the conscience. He says, one man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. God never says that about moral issues, does he? Or any of the other commandments. One man worships God, another worships a stone. Let each man be fully convinced. No way. No, thou shalt not have any other gods. One man steals, another decides not to. It's up to you. No. So there's a great difference.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, Remember the Sabbath Day. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.